Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. Security experts say they're not surprised at a report that the nation's most secretive spy agency would try to apply advanced data mining techniques to a list of millions of phone calls. Those techniques include one called social network analysis that can reportedly find previously invisible connections, such as the acquaintances shared by different people in totally different groups. Meanwhile, today, George Bush said the government does not troll the personal lives of Americans. Bush says any domestic intelligence gathering measure he has approved are lawful, and he says appropriate members of Congress were briefed. The companies named in the reports today, though, about government tracking of Americans' phone calls says they're protecting privacy. In a statement, AT&T says they prize customers' trust but have an obligation to help law enforcement officials and the government protect America. The telecom company says anytime it has been asked to help, it acts strictly within the law. USA Today reported the National Security Agency's collecting records of Americans' phone calls since soon after 9/11. The paper reports agents want to build a database of every call made in the USA. A grand jury indicted Kentucky's Governor Ernie Fletcher today. The indictment charges the Republican governor with illegally rewarding political supporters with state jobs since taking office 2 years ago. Fletcher charged with conspiracy, official misconduct, and violating a prohibition against political discrimination. For nearly a year, the special grand jury has been investigating whether Fletcher's administration broke state law by basing personnel decisions on political considerations. The U.S. Senate today gave the final approval to the $70 billion package of tax cuts. It will extend lower rates for investors and also save billions for families with above-average incomes. The Senate passed the measure 54-44, clearing it for George Bush's signature. George Bush today asked Gulf Coast College graduates to join the powerful spirit, as he called it, of post-hurricane reconstruction. At a community college hit by Hurricane Katrina, Bush declared, "Mississippi will rebuild, and you will be the ones to rebuild it." A top Palestinian official says President Mahmoud Abbas has authorized a multi-million-dollar debt payment to fill gas tanks in the West Bank and Gaza again. The Israeli company that provides all fuel to those territories cut off the supplies of gas to the Palestinian territories yesterday, and they had long lines at gas pumps and fears the economy would collapse. This is Air America Radio News.
Air America Radio.
The best of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour, as it always is when we say welcome back. One other little tiny item here, then right back to your phone calls. The Secret Service has released logs showing the comings and goings of convicted Republican thug and lobbyist Jack Abramoff and members of his staff at the White House. And what is revealed is a jaw-dropping level of access to the Bush administration after the 2000 election. It says that Abramoff and his lobbying team logged more than 200 meetings with this corrupt criminal administration in its first 10 months. On behalf of one of his clients, that's the cover story, the North Mariana Islands. Remember, that is the area where Abramoff and Tom DeLay traveled and guaranteed the slaveholders that were running the American factory or the factories producing American brand goods that DeLay would make sure that there would be no legislation introduced or even a sense of the House, or not even a resolution, condemning the sexual exploitation and abuse of children who are being dragged to that island, the North Mariana Islands, from the Asian mainland, young women, but also children. We're talking 10, 11, 12-year-olds. Tom DeLay should burn in hell for all of eternity, if there just was any truth to the Christian mythology, DeLay and so many of these so-called Christians will roast. As Keith Oberman pointed out the other night, someone from Abramoff's firm was at the White House every business day for 10 months through October 2001. Rumsfeld likes torture. He likes to watch. Cheney likes death and destruction. He likes to order it. Tom DeLay likes to enable child sexual abuse. Jesus, God. All right, as promised, let's go back to the phone calls here. Matt is calling from Madison, Wisconsin. Matt, welcome to the program.
Hi, I heard you on Ring of Fire Saturday.
Right.
And I just wanted to confirm something that Mike Papantonio, that you and Mike Papantonio are talking about.
Okay.
This wingnut Republican governor actually built a gravel pit in a state park.
Yes, and now he's been appointed to head the Interior Department.
Okay, and he said a bombing range. Did he say that?
Yes.
How? I'm confused. The federal government can actually open up a bombing range in a state park?
I think it's a federal park.
Oh, a federal park.
Right, well, federal land that may have been. I'm trying to remember specifically what Mike and I. That was that interview between Mike and I was pre-recorded, and I'm trying to about a week before it was broadcast. And I'm trying to remember exactly the circumstance. I think it is federal land, or it may have been state land that was opened up to be used as a bombing range by the state by the National Guard, which in a sense is a state militia.
Well, you know, it's just every time. Well, the point I just want to make is every time these Republican crazies, I think there is nothing they can do to shock me.
Yeah.
They, once again, they do something more. It's like I have stepped into an alternative universe. I mean, when I heard him say a bombing range, I felt for a minute that I had stepped into an alternative universe. I mean, once again, Bush, what you've said and what your callers have said. I mean, if Bush strangled a baby, people would still support him. It's just, I don't get it.
Oh, sure they would, because the Christian right-wingers would say the baby was obviously a demon sent from hell, so Bush was just doing the work of Jesus by strangling it. Yes, you're absolutely right.
And I was surprised to hear Marge. I hadn't heard her for a while. I hadn't heard her call you for a while. And I was like, oh, my God, is she dead? Did something here happen to her?
No. Marge is more alive than you and I put together.
Right.
Matt, thanks. I appreciate you checking
bye-bye.
In. All right, take care. Jody is calling from Arlington Heights, Illinois. Hi, Jody.
Hi, Mike. Okay, I'm laughing at Matt. I'm not at him, but just at the... You know, the timbre of his voice.
I know.
And it's cracking me up. I'm online and I can't stop laughing, even though I really want to talk about serious stuff. So if I giggle, you know, this is probably the most amusement I've had. Because like you, I can't sleep. I am pissed off all the time. I am just, you know, I can't understand why people are not upset, don't seem to care. They're like big balloon heads with faces painted on. And
oh,
they just float along the street, you know. I can't stand it anymore. But... this Rumsfeld thing, I mean, you kind of brought it up. I mean, isn't he in charge of Abu Ghraib as the Secretary of Defense? I mean, he brought those people over, those contractors and those special ops people.
Oh, he's
torture these people
for intelligence purposes. Well, I don't know. I swear to God, Jody, I don't know if it's for intelligence purposes. I think Rumsfeld and Cheney and Negroponte and some of these people are really, truly, honestly mad. They are insane.
Well, they are. I mean, watching him...
And I think the torture was ordered for no other reason other than the fact that he could order it. You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And everything. And bringing that up is the most out of this entire despicable thing. I mean, there's two other points about his thing that, you know, Mr. McGovern could not bring up, didn't bring up, and that is the fact that you had inspectors in there. Why did you get them out of there?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is, you know, we thought they had them. Well, you thought, but you were finding evidence to contrary, and you just, I bring that up with everybody, and there is no answer for it. And secondly, that despicable, besides every lie that he did, every lie that he stood up there that you've pretty much cataloged, the part about taking Mr. McGovern and going to just spirit him out when he, okay, his question was rough. He wasn't swearing.
Well, okay.
He's so imperious to sit there and say, oh, let him stay.
Mm-hmm.
That was
the other part of that interview that just frosted me, okay, let him stay. And when I watched this on television today and I saw two women being manhandled and hustled out. When I saw the woman hold up the orange cloth sign and this white man pig in front of her and a woman in front of her reach back and yank it out of her hands, what kind of people are these?
I know
what they are because I live here. I live here in Georgia. These are people that you would not. I'm telling you, they're subhuman. They are just not like you and me. I don't know how they can be parents. I don't know how they could ever be grandparents. I don't know how they could ever cuddle a child or tell each other stories or be romantic or really truly worship a God. I just don't understand it. They are so filthy and so evil.
I don't either, Mike. But thanks. That's all I wanted to say.
All right, Jody. Thanks for checking in. I appreciate your call. And to see these women being, you know, once again, just being just manhandled and pushed out of the room, taken away over and over and over again. And the crowd, you know, who's there to support this murderer. Ah, you dumb bastards. If any of you are listening on WWAA here in Atlanta tonight, shame on you. Just shame on you. How could you be so filthy, so corrupt? How? These are women who are protesting a murderer, and you're laughing at her and shouting her down. Ah!
Then you're just not paying attention. You can turn off the TV and go about your day. But just 'cause you don't see it, it don't mean it's gone away.
You're listening to the best of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
I'm so glad you got tickets to this concert.
Definitely. These guys put on a killer show.
Great. Let's go.
Wait. Let's just deal with the band. Let's get a little stone first. It's crazy strong. Here you go.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, the anti-drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Every day, Aleve helps millions of people overcome the pain of arthritis. In recognition of Arthritis Month, Aleve is bringing you one of their stories every day.
I'm Phyllis Ocean, and this is my story. When I was diagnosed, my arthritis was in my knees. I started using Aleve. You don't know how good you feel until the pain is gone.
31 people, 31 stories, 31 days of good news. That's a daily dose.
Aleve works for me.
Watch for a new story each day on national TV and AleveGoodNews.com. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
global world. And that creates uncertainty in some. I understand that.
A global world? Do we really? 21 past the hour. Very quickly here, a couple of emails. Who's this from? Oh, well. If someone yanked the sign from the woman in the audience at Rumsfeld's speech today, bingo, yanked equals criminal assault. The crime's evidence is in the video. Yeah, of course. But it's even worse than that. Here in Georgia, we now have a law that if you feel threatened, just threatened, it's called the shoot first law. I think that's what it's called, or else it's called the hi, I'm a redneck from Georgia law. But it's a shoot. This woman could have, had she had a permit to carry a gun, she could have reached into her purse, pulled out a gun, and shot these two sons of bitches deader than a doornail. And her defense would have been, I'm sorry, they yanked it out of my hands, I thought they were going to get up and start to strangle me. And you know what? That is a workable defense here in the great state of Redneckville now. Jesus. Diane emails in, this is off topic, but I want to share this with you. She says, Mike, I just finished watching Diane Sawyer's interview, I guess it was on primetime, ABC's primetime, with the vice president's daughter, Mary Cheney, and found her hypocrisy unbelievable. She and her mother, for that matter, have the gall to say that John Edwards and John Kerry were out of line when they invoked her personal situation of being lesbian for their political gain, while she simultaneously helped promote a ticket, Bush and Cheney, which used the very same wedge issue of homosexuality for their political gain. Amazing, isn't it, how the religious right, whom the Bush-Cheney ticket pandered to with this issue, left Cheney's daughter alone, while at the same time launching an all-out verbal assault on the rest of gay folk in this country. Obviously, she, Cheney's daughter, knew she was protected as the vice president's kid while she and her parents helped sell out the rest of the gay community. But she thinks her private life should be respected. The religious right, whom Bush and Cheney have unleashed like pit bulls on the gay community, now have an unbelievable amount of power and influence over public policy and consequently over the private lives of gays. Thanks to her help, gays without connections in high places no longer have even a presumption of privacy, nor a presumption that they are still protected by the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence. And Mrs. Cheney thinks John Kerry isn't a nice person? Thanks, Diane. Yeah, I just wonder when the, quote, gay issue, close quote, is going to come screaming back into the headlines. Oh, let's see. We have an election in November. I guess in October, right? All right, back to your phone calls. Mark is calling from Bethlehem, PA. Mark, welcome to the program. Hey, Mark, in Bethlehem, PA. He's gone. Okay. Okay, we lost Mark. Let's go to Reese in Memphis, Tennessee. Reese, welcome to the program.
How you doing this evening, Mike?
Doing fine, sir. How are you?
I'm okay. I watched that interview tonight, too, and I just couldn't believe that this woman was sitting on TV lying through her teeth. I mean, and to sit up and say that she was some sort of offended by Kerry's remarks about this whole thing. The gay community, in fact, any of us in the outcast community, and especially me being a young black male, fully understands what it's like not to have rights, not to have the application taken into, and to be fired for no reason. She sits up there on national TV, just as pompous as she can be, lying through her teeth, and to sit up here, and we know that gay men and women are being beaten and abused all over this country every day, and to have this issue come back up. In fact, the state legislature here in the state of Tennessee is going to use this to draw Republicans to the elections this fall.
No, sure. Yeah, go ahead. I was just going to say, sure, they always do. They always come up with something to get the Bible beaters to come out there. Oh, we got to stop the queers or whatever, you know.
Yeah, and we had an issue. We're bringing up an issue on the state agenda also for a living wage in the state of Tennessee. We have such a where the temporary companies here have such a stranglehold on the job market that now the people who call themselves moving out are moving out to jobs where the temporary companies are already in existence, and they get pretty hell out there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, man, be cool. Now.
All right, thanks, all right. Thanks, right. Reese. Thanks for checking in. Mary is calling from Pennsylvania. Mary, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing all right, Mary. How about you?
Oh, I'm a little frustrated myself. As far as, like, the point you brought up about Kennedy and his little accident.
Uh-huh.
You're right. You know, I continuously flipped through all the news channels. I did not hear one thing about Kent State. Not a word. I mm-hmm. heard nothing but about, you know, Kennedy. Okay, now I'll tell you
well, something. And the fact that today is prayer day, and you see all these ardent folks with their heads bowed, and a big issue this prayer day was to make sure that you got all these public praying so-called Christians onto government property to make a point. You know, and I remember what the Bible says, what Jesus said in the Bible, and Jesus said he condemned the people who prayed publicly. He condemned them.
Well, yeah, you're supposed to, like, you know, basically, you know, it's supposed to be your own thing.
Go in, Jesus said, go into your closet, shut the door, and pray quietly to my Father who art in heaven, because only the Pharisees and the hypocrites prayed in public. Jesus, all right, hold on. We'll come back after the break, Mary. This is Air America. Stay with us.
Because I saw it on TV. I know it's true. Oh, so true. Because I saw it on TV.
The best of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Basketball's fun, but I need a cold drink.
My mom's making rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Ovaltine? Let's go!
I guess the kids will be home soon.
Let's make rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Come on! Sarah's mom's making...
rich chocolate Ovaltine.
All right!
My kids love Ovaltine's rich chocolate taste.
And I love all those vitamins and minerals that you won't find in Nesquik powder.
Mom, we're back!
Who wants Ovaltine?
We do!
We better make more.
More Ovaltine, please!
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 75,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals. Call right now and we'll also include for free the RX Saver discount prescription card. The RX Saver is accepted in most pharmacies nationwide and provides savings of up to 60% off most medications. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Use the Optimum Health discount card risk-free for 30 days and start saving now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
Every day, Aleve helps millions of people overcome the pain of arthritis. In recognition of Arthritis Month, Aleve is bringing you one of their stories every day.
I'm Phyllis Ocean, and this is my story. When I was diagnosed, my arthritis was in my knees. I started using Aleve. You don't know how good you feel until the pain is gone.
31 people, 31 stories, 31 days of good news. That's a daily dose.
Aleve works for me.
Watch for a new story each day on national TV and AleveGoodNews.com. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
because life's too short to listen to right-wing radio. It's more of Mike Malloy.
26 before the hour, we're talking with Mary in Pennsylvania. All right, Mary, where,
hey.
Where were we?
Okay, we're talking about Kent State, and I didn't hear a word about that today. All they wanted to do is talk about, you know, Kennedy having a little accident, incident, whatever.
Right.
I don't know what the, you know, depth of that was, but anyway, when I was a child, I'll never forget, I was about third grade, and I saw the newspaper delivered to the house, my house, and I'll never forget the picture in the front page and the horror, you know?
Right.
As a child, at such a young age, right, that's something that, you know, you don't, you usually don't notice, you don't, like, take it in. You're out there playing around. It's, you're supposed to be with, right? It's something I've never forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, I was in an age where, like, me and my friends would ride our bicycles to a local farm and buy baby chicks for 5 cents and put her in a basket to bring home and, you know, raise as pets. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I've never forgotten that in my entire life. I can't believe the audacity of something like that being neglected in our news.
Yeah, I hear you, and it's neglected because media in this country no longer gives a damn. There is no institutional memory. They're not interested in protecting or defending us against these killers. So there's, you know. Listen, I have to move on. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you checking in, Mary. You know, I feel a little bit remiss here, and nobody sent me an email yet, which I'm surprised. So I need to say it. There were also shootings at Jackson State University in Mississippi. Jackson State College in Jackson, Mississippi. About 10 days later, and there were two, which historically was an all-black school, there were two people shot dead on that campus. And, you know, nobody wrote a song about the two people that died there. There were about, if I remember, 14 or 15 people who were shot. And of course, it was all white people shooting into the campus. But these students also were protesting at Jackson State University. Look it up. Do a Google on it, because, you know, most white people don't have a clue about this. In fairness, the only way I knew about it was a report in the newspaper. Let's see, in 1970, in May of 70, I was in living in Raleigh, North Carolina, going to school at NC State. And the shootings had a singularly chilling effect, because at the time, that's when I was doing work with the New Mob Committee to end the war in Vietnam, and we were organizing demonstrations in or peace marches in honor of Dr. King. And North Carolina State, while it was slightly integrated campus in 1970, it was 99.9% white, and when it turned out that white soldiers had fired on white students in at Kent State, it was a shock. It was as much of a shock, and I don't mean to compare the two, but just for the shock value, as the Chinese students who never thought the People's Liberation Army would ever open fire on them in Tiananmen Square, and it happened. But anyway, I just bring this up because it was 10 days later that the students at Jackson State College, in Jackson, Mississippi, were fired on, and two of them were murdered. And again, this is, you know, but that's so typical. That's so typical in this country. White folks are gunned down, and notice is taken, and notice should be taken. Black folk are gunned down, and notice is not taken. And it's especially in 1970. Especially in Mississippi. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. And two to certain listeners in our audience who may have been listening to that first hour and heard me talk about Kent State and did not mention Jackson State, I apologize. Back to your calls. Ron is calling from Loveland, Colorado. Ron, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine, sir.
I was wondering if you had heard anything about the emergency spending bill that's possibly going to get passed if Bush
yes.
veto it, that there's $700 million to be going to Mississippi to relocate a railroad.
Yeah.
That had, I guess, recently been built at taxpayer expense. What's all that about?
It's a pork barrel project to the tune of $0.7 billion that the two Republican senators from Mississippi are determined to get. They want to move a railroad, and or is it a? I can never get this straight. I think taxpayers built them a railroad. They want to move the railroad, put a road there, move the railroad further inland on the idea that if another hurricane hits, they want to keep the railroad protected. Or is it the road? You know, I don't know, and I really don't care. But the point is what you're bringing up, that the $700 million bit of pork that Thad Cochran and Trent Lott have no problem. And what do you know what is laughable is to hear Bush say, I'm gonna veto it if they don't stop spending, I'm gonna veto it. He's not gonna do any such thing.
Of course not. He just got that's because he'll be getting $71 billion more to spend on his shameless, sham, appalling, disgusting, murderous war that he's got going on in Iraq.
And that money that he wants for Iraq is still referred to as emergency funding. This cowardly son of a bitch was a coward when he ducked into the Texas Air National Guard and left that. He's a coward now because he won't go to Congress and say, look, you know my war? I need $150 billion to finance my war. You know my war? I need a draft so that we have lots of blood and gore on one end and fresh bodies coming in the other end. He is a coward. He is the worst, worst coward ever to occupy the Oval Office. It's disgusting.
And so were the bastards at the little Q&A for Rummy the other day. That was, I'm proud of those people who stood up for the truth and tried to speak their mind. And it was appalling to see the fascism that was going on.
Yeah, you're talking about happened. You're talking about what happened today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I got you. All right, listen, thanks for checking in, Ron. I appreciate your call. Take it easy. Jimmy is calling from Sacramento. Jimmy, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Hello, Mike.
Hey, Jimmy.
Thank you for the $10.
All right, now what's this about?
The impeachment forum.
Oh, okay. You were the guy who didn't have the $10. You were out in front of the theater.
Yeah.
And I had told you I'd give you okay. You're more than welcome.
I attended both the impeachment rally that afternoon and the impeachment forum.
Uh-huh.
Did you see the so-called protest warriors?
Probably not. Who were they?
Oh, they were, okay, they've been following around a lot of the anti-war and anti-this, anti-that.
Oh, these are right-wingers?
They're right-wingers who pretend to be left-wingers but put, like, hammer and sickles and stuff or wrap themselves in the old Soviet flag and stuff like that.
Ooh, street theater. I love it. You know, I have a bit of street theater that I like to fantasize about getting into when I see people like that. I like to pretend like when I see a hammer and sickle flag, I want to turn it into a torch. You know, a torch that'll burn real bright. So, you know, I come up with what looks like a can of kerosene, and it's really water, and I throw it all over these people and then light a match. It's so much fun. And it's only water, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I wanted to put some observations on paper, and I just wanted to run them by you.
I don't allow reading on the program because it drives people crazy.
Okay.
I can give you about a minute, Jimmy, to synopsize it if you want to go real quick.
Okay. I've seen a documentary called Hijacking Catastrophe that details how the Bush administration used the 9/11
right.
catastrophe to to put their neocon program into place.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's two possible theories about the Reichstag fire in Germany in 1933. One, that it was a lone madman and that the Nazis took advantage of it. And the second is that Nazi henchmen did it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I tend to believe the latter.
And Mark Crispin Miller's book, I don't remember the exact name about it, how they stole the election, details actions that are just the actions of Nazi thugs.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're absolutely right, Jimmy.
Yeah, and I know and Bush is a serial killer.
Yes, he is.
150-plus American citizens just alone as Texas governor.
Yeah, that was it.
And
that
I suppose you know the one that I don't remember it offhand.
Carla Faye Tucker.
Carla Faye Tucker
was the woman he mocked. Jimmy, I've got to leave it there. We have a break coming. Listen, thank you so much for calling in. Thanks for being at the forum, too, okay?
All right.
All right, sir. Take care. We'll be right back. This is Air America.
The cuss words like you like to use and think about taking the high road. Yeah, the high road like you've always been shown. And think about what would Jesus do.
You're listening to the best of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Some of the best minds in the automotive industry, using some of the most sophisticated design facilities. Engineers from Ford Motor Company are working together on a common mission, creating safer cars for our families and our children. Ford is renewing its commitment to driving American innovation. At the core of that effort is your safety, because every single life saved is worth it. Ford, driving American innovation.
Hey, Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here. Are you as alarmed as I am by the assault on our freedoms by the religious right? An essential element of freedom is the right to choose or reject religious beliefs. And this is why I fully support the Freedom From Religion Foundation, as it takes the lead in challenging the growing threat from the religious right in the United States. If you'd like further information on the dangers of living in a theocracy, please call 800-335-4021. 800-335-4021. Or visit their website, ffrf.org.
We'll be right back.
The Mike Malloy Show, because each time you listen to Right Wing Radio, God kills a kitten.
We have one last soundbite that I haven't played yet, and I want to play it, and then we're going to take a break. Then we're going to come back and do more of your phone calls here. And I think this is appropriate for a couple of reasons. First of all, it's the pig man talking about immigrants, but it's appropriate because I'm be very curious. I wish somebody would listen to him tomorrow. I can't. My gag reflex is on hair trigger alert. Even the mention of this foul beast's name starts to set it off, the gag reflex. But how he's going to handle the Kennedy car wreck, and now the Kennedy, what's his name, Patrick? Is it Patrick Kennedy? Is claiming that, there's so damn many of them, is claiming that, you know, it was prescription drugs. Frankly, I don't care one way or the other. You know, why a minor, one car smacking into a barrier traffic wreck gets national, well, come on, don't even say that, Malloy, you know why it gets national attention over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. You know, we have administrations just murdering people, and Patrick Kennedy has a car wreck. Oh, Jesus, God. But anyway, I'd be curious to see how the pig man would spin this tomorrow, since, you know, he has been busted on illegal use of prescription drugs and has been threatened with jail time and now has to urinate in a cup and present it to the authorities over the next 18 months or 15 months, whatever it is, a smarmy bastard. So what we have for you here is old Rush Death by Temptation Limbaugh, the oxymoron, from a program about a month ago on immigration. This is just a little clip from this pig on the eve of Cinco de Mayo, just for the hell of it. So you tell me, in light of his recent drug arrest and conviction and mugshots and so on and so forth, is he perhaps here experiencing a little bit of sour grapes?
Everybody's making immigration proposals these days. Let me add mine to the mix. Call it the Limbaugh laws. First, you immigrate to our country, you have to speak the native language. You have to be a professional or an investor. No unskilled workers allowed. Also, there'll be no special bilingual programs in the schools with the Limbaugh laws, no special ballots for elections, no government business will be conducted in your language. Foreigners will not have the right to vote or hold political office. If you're in our country, you cannot be a burden to taxpayers. You are not entitled to welfare or food stamps or other government goodies. You can come if you invest here, an amount equal to 40,000 times a daily minimum wage. If not, stay home. But if you want to buy land, it'll be restricted. No waterfront, for instance, and as a foreigner, you have to relinquish individual rights to the property. And another thing, you don't have the right to protest. You're allowed no demonstrations, no foreign flag waving, no political organizing, no bad-mouthing our president or his policies. You're a foreigner. Shut your mouth or get out. And if you come here illegally, you're going to jail. Now, you think the Limbaugh laws are harsh? Well, every one of the laws I just mentioned are actual laws of Mexico today. That's how the Mexican government handles immigrants to their country. Yet Mexicans come here illegally and protest in our streets. How do you say double standard in Spanish? How about no mas?
No, Limbaugh, no mas is what you were told about your drug use. Poor Rush. Just when Mexico, it appears that Mexico is going to legalize a few of his favorite things, he discovers they're tough on immigrants. Aw, poor baby. Aw! Forget that little piñata full of barbiturates, Rush. You better think Amsterdam instead. And I know you like the tropics. Now, I'm not going to take the time here to go back through his list of restrictions on foreigners living in Mexico and point out the ones that are just absolute hog snot. But I just thought we would play that tonight. Limbaugh, doesn't he sound like Ed Schultz? Jesus, he sounds like Ed Schultz. All right, back to your phone calls. Kim is calling from Vermont. Kim, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. You've saved our sanity. We're on a restricted income, but when we discovered that we could get Air America and then you, well, we went out and got XM, what can I say?
Well, bless your heart.
But one thing about the unmentionable person who just spoke, I happen to be Native, and I take a little, I don't know, about him talking about his country. You know, excuse me, it's our country, not his. He's the illegal immigrant.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I want to get to was this. Before we found you, we stay up, and actually when you go off at 1, we start listening to CBC, International News.
Uh-huh.
And that's where we were getting all of our news, because God knows you can't get it in the USA. And back at the beginning of the Afghan War, the international news carried something, and it was a clip with Bush commenting about how great the technology was that he could sit in the White House, in his office, and watch the bombs being delivered and, you know, being blown up. Now, I've never heard this on American news, but then again, I don't listen to much American news. But at the time when everything was going on, before people knew about it in Iraq, there were all these trips all of a sudden with Bush going over and Rumsfeld going over, but they weren't meeting with troops and things. They were making these flash trips in and out.
Uh-huh.
And the time seems to coincide with a lot of the stuff that goes on. And I'm sorry, I think those SOBs are not, that he's not just a coward. I think he's a sadist, too.
Yeah.
And I think if somebody starts checking dates, they're going to find out that they were there present.
I think you may be right. You may be right.
And I wish somebody could go back through and check it, because there was a beginning there, if you remember, where those flights were going in and out in those unexpected trips, and
yes,
they were not meeting with the troops.
I know. I know.
So, I don't know. That's just for whatever it's worth. But if it's any consolation, we've been so upset for so long that it just, it is at least nice that we're not just ranting and raving to ourselves anymore, that there's somebody else out there who actually believes it, because we live in a nest where you can't say anything. So.
I hear you. Well, listen, Kim, thank you. I appreciate you checking in. Keep your chin up. Keep your spirits up, because this is all going to end. I swear to God it is. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malone on Air America.
The best of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 75,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals. Call right now, and we'll also include for free the RX Saver discount prescription card. The RX Saver is accepted in most pharmacies nationwide and provides savings of up to 60% off most medications. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Use the Optimum Health discount card risk-free for 30 days and start saving now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
Air America Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. Pennsylvania Congressman John Murtha says American troops will be brought home from Iraq by 2007. Murtha says either George Bush will bow to public opinion or Democrats will win control of the House of Representatives and increase the pressure on the White House. Congressman Murtha predicting there'll be a tidal wave propelling Democrats into the majority in the November elections. He says he expects Democrats to gain 40 to 50 seats, well more than the 15 needed for the party to gain control in the House. A new government study today finds of the Iraq and Afghanistan war veterans showing signs of post-traumatic stress, about one-fifth of them are referred for mental health treatment. A report from the Government Accountability Office says about 5% of interviewed veterans appear to be at risk. Of those, about 22% were referred for more health care. The GAO says the Defense Department cannot guarantee that those who need referrals get them, and investigators say the different military services don't really seem to be consistent in deciding who needs help and who gets it. A U.S. soldier and five Iraqis killed in roadside bombings in Iraq. The military says the soldier killed when his army convoy was hit by a roadside bomb southwest of Baghdad. At least 2,426 members of the U.S. military have died since the beginning of the Iraq War in 2003. The president of Iran intensifying his attacks against Israel. Again, he calls it a, quote, tyrannical regime that will one day be destroyed. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad also says he is willing to negotiate over Iran's nuclear program, but he says the U.S. has to drop what he called its bad attitude first. The U.S. accuses Iran of seeking to develop nuclear weapons, a charge that Iran denies. The president spoke to a group of cheering students in Indonesia, the Iranian leader telling the folks in Indonesia he's not concerned about possible U.N. sanctions, saying the West has more to lose than Iran if his country is isolated. Senior members of the rival Hamas and Fatah factions in Israel forged a joint platform which includes a Palestinian state alongside Israel. This document presented to Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas yesterday. However, it's unclear whether Hamas, particularly that group's hardline leaders abroad, will back the program, which would signal a major softening of their positions. Until now, Hamas has rejected the West's demands that it renounce violence, recognize Israel, and accept the existing peace agreements.
Best of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Welcome back. Seven past the hour. As promised, let's go right back to phone calls here. Chris is calling from Dallas, Texas. Chris, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. You are awesome, dude. I really appreciate being able to get your show, even though I've had to follow you from Sirius to XM and whatnot over the years. You're the bomb, man.
That's what happens when you're in radio, though. For most of us, you bounce around all over the place with huge gaps of unemployment stacked in there just to keep you on your toes.
Yeah, that's for sure. I grew up around radio, but the reason I'm calling tonight, you opened with the little Christian bit, and I have to say, as somebody who's read the Bible and believes in Jesus, I don't go to church. You know, they pretty much didn't want me since I was from a broken home, so I've kind of been looking from the outside, and I have to say that George Bush, he's not a Christian, man.
Mm-hmm.
Because to be Christian, you have to be Christ-like, and what Christ-like thing has the man done?
Yeah.
Anything?
Not that I'm aware of. As a matter of fact, he probably would have been one of the people that, according to the stories, Jesus would have driven out of the temple.
Oh, absolutely. You know, he threw the money changers out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is that, you know, you were talking about Leviticus with gay people. I love gay people. You know, there's people. You know, there are brothers and sons and daughters just like Mary Chaney. And you talked about Leviticus. But, you know, Leviticus also says we're not supposed to eat shellfish or trim our beards. But, you know, I don't see Pat Robertson outside of Joe's Crab Shack or anything like that.
Well, you know, I see my take, and I don't want to get too deep into this, but my take, the so-called Old Testament is a history of a tribe of people who wandered the desert 5,000-6,000 years ago. It was their creation myth. It was their admonitions and prohibitions about diet, so they wouldn't all die of some kind of food poisoning. It was fear of the unknown, so they invented Yahweh or whatever the name these tribal people used. And somehow the Christians have co-opted that history of the Jewish people and used it now as a predictor of their God. And their God is different from the Jewish God, because the Christian God is a tripartite God. It is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Whereas the Jews never got into that nonsense. They just said, no, he's just this really seriously pissed off dude. If you get him angry, he will, you know, he'll kill every firstborn in your family, so watch out.
Yeah, well, that kind of almost sounds like Bush.
Well,
which is kind of scary.
Well, it is indeed. All right, well, Chris, let me move on. I want to get some calls,
man,
in here. Thanks for checking in. I'm glad you found the program again. I do appreciate the persistence. I do. Les is calling from Chattanooga. Les, welcome to the program.
Hey, happy Thursday morning, partner.
Oh, thank you, Les. I appreciate it.
Hey, you know, I don't know what this guy's doing. I peddled insurance for years, and I never put one of these deadline things on. I was going to charge him more money if he didn't buy the policy from me now.
But this is not insurance. This is not a medical a medicine add-on. This is a scam. This is robbery.
Penalizing us for not buying something. That's ridiculous.
Oh, it's crazy.
Well, I've been three quarters of a century hanging out in here, and I've never seen anything like it. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm in good health, and when I was eligible for the Medicare thing, I looked at the premium for a year, and I started depositing it in a savings account, and I suckered over, you know, over 10 grand. But somebody's making money. I learned all that stuff with that insurance stuff. Well, listen, take the rest of the day off.
All right, thanks. I'll do it, Les. I appreciate your offer. Thank you, sir. Okay, you ready to go home, Kath? I'm ready. Let's walk out. Goodbye. See ya. Just kidding. Johnny's calling from Missouri. Johnny, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Johnny. How are you?
I'm all right. I just wanted to call in and mention, I saw the interview on Larry King tonight with Mary Chaney, and I had call in and agree with you. I'm also a gay man. I'm a truck driver out here, and I've about had it with Mary Chaney and her father. You know, in the state of Georgia, they I think they're coming out with another amendment or a ballot initiative to ban, I think it's gays from adopting children now, because last election cycle they did, I think, a ban for gay marriage. Now they're coming out again. I guess it was so successful, they're going to come out now with banning gays from adopting children. Which, you know, and she's sitting there saying that, you know, she didn't have a problem with what her father and the Republican Party stood for.
Well, Mary Cheney, if anyone who can make statements like that, I'm Italian and Irish. So if I were to say that all Italian and Irish people are sick, psychotic murderers or mafia members, I think people look at me and say, Jesus, that guy's a self-hating Italian. If Jewish folk speak out vehemently against their beliefs and their religion, oh, that's a self-hating Jew. If black folk, oh, that's a self-hating black. Here's Mary Cheney justifying a poisonous attitude against gay people that's put out there by the people she worked for and the people in her family. Now, if that's not somebody who has some mental problems, I don't know. I don't know what is. I don't. I just don't.
I totally agree. Also, I'm black, and I grew up in the church in Georgia, in the Baptist church, and I heard all the speeches about, you know, I'm going to burn in hell, Leviticus, and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And I actually believed that stuff for about the first 25 years of my life, and I finally had enough of it. I said I'd had enough.
It's hard to get free, but if you're determined to reclaim your own soul, you can do it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. But, yeah, I was just surprised that she could sit there and so flippantly defend her. I know she loves her father. You know, I don't like him, but, you know, that's her dad. But she's trying to defend him. But to defend the rest of the Republican Party and their homophobic, race-baiting, and all the other stuff they're doing, I couldn't stomach it.
I hear you. Johnny, thanks for checking in, pal. I appreciate it. You take
care.
All right,
thank you.
All right, drive safely. Like Johnny said, and like we said earlier, it's her father. So, you know, blood is thicker than water for sure, and you're going to defend. But, you know, I have to wonder, I've seen so many documentaries on the History Channel about the Nazis, and they were good family men, some of them. Himmler? Was it Goering? These were people who designed mass murder. These are people who I'm not talking just about the attacks against innocent civilian populations in the course of invading other countries. I'm talking about the death camps specifically here. These are people who designed means and methods to butcher children and butcher women and men. And, you know, the gender, the age is at this point kind of immaterial except for the innocence of the children. And yet these evil snakes, the documentaries would show them playing with their children, and when the kids were little, when the kids became adolescent. And I just wonder, do you love your father or your mother when your father or your mother is responsible, and this is a matter of degrees, responsible for mass death, okay? Responsible for leading people into a morass of religious confusion. I'm thinking about Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son. Or do you love your parent when you know that your parent uses your own sexual orientation or gender orientation as a means of hurting and harming other people? How do you do that? How do you love somebody who is your parent, who is causing so much anguish, grief, anxiety, fear, pain, death, whatever it is that the evil old bastard is causing? How do you still say, well, you know, that's my dad or that's my mom, and I've got to love him. I don't know. I don't know how that's done. I really don't. I'm sure somebody will send me an email and tell me how it's done and send me all the psychological terms involved, but I have to believe that any kid who attempts that eventually has to go insane, has to go utterly gibbering, sitting in the corner, eating his or her own hair, mad.
Baby, what do you want me to do?
She said she's got someone.
You're listening to the best of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Every day, Aleve helps millions of people overcome the pain of arthritis. In recognition of Arthritis Month, Aleve is bringing you one of their stories every day.
I'm Phyllis Ocean, and this is my story. When I was diagnosed, my arthritis was in my knees. I started using Aleve. You don't know how good you feel until the pain is gone.
31 people, 31 stories, 31 days of good news. That's a daily dose.
Aleve works for me.
Watch for a new story each day on national TV and AleveGoodNews.com. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
Okay, class, let's get back to vocabulary. Who can use the word rich in a sentence? Allison?
I like the rich colors of autumn leaves.
Very good. Kenny?
Rich chocolate Ovaltine rocks!
Okay, Kenny, try another one.
Ovaltine has a rich chocolatey taste. It's rich in nutrition, and it's richer in vitamins and minerals than Nesquik powder.
I get the point, Kenny. You love your Ovaltine, but...
That's rich chocolate Ovaltine, Mrs. McGee.
Got it.
More Ovaltine, please!
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Hey, neocons, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. It's Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Twenty-one past the hour. Back to your phone calls. Philip is calling from San Diego. Philip, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Mike.
How you doing?
You know, most doctors agree that heart disease runs in the family, so I suspect Mary Cheney will have karma bite her in the butt.
Well, I guess. I was thinking during the break, if Dick Cheney dies anytime in the near future, I wonder if Fred Phelps and his organization will show up at the funeral condemning Dick Cheney because he didn't come out against his own daughter. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know if they'll be able to do that, because yesterday the House passed a bill for, it's called the Respect for America's Fallen Heroes Act. It was 408-3 that they voted to keep the Fred Phelps people away from the military funerals. They say that they're protesting it because it's a sign of divine punishment for America's tolerance of homosexuals. Now, the Republicans are going to be running around puffing their chest out now and saying, yeah, look, we did something against, you know, a Christian right group. You know, don't put us down. Tell us that.
Yeah, well, passing that bill is insanity. It'll be challenged in court, and it will be overturned. There is no question about it. There are ways to avoid monsters, half-human beasts like Fred Phelps and his bastardly family. There are ways to avoid them, but to pass legislation like this is unconstitutional. It's not going to stand the first court challenge that it has to face.
The irony in this bill is these people are passing this because it just happens to be troops. They're protesting troops that aren't even homosexual. But ask any of these 408 people if they would pass a bill on hate crimes legislation or not to, to vote no on any law that says my partner and I can't have equal rights. They'll say, oh, no, of course not.
There you go.
Yeah, they're hypocrites. Nothing.
Oh,
but hypocrites,
hypocrisy! Hypocrisy of a scale that you and I, Philip, could never ever achieve. These people have made an art form out of hypocrisy. It is astonishing. They have built mountains. They have built the Great Wall of China in hypocrisy in this country in the past 10-12 years. It's just unbelievable what these so-called Republicans have done. Astonishing.
And this is a issue here that Mary Cheney, if she gave a damn about anybody but herself, which apparently none of these people do, and the Cheneys, of course, don't, you know, this is an issue where she could have came out and said, hey, yeah, this is wrong, this Phelps group, you know, bunch of insane bastards going to funerals of the troops, protesting him with fag signs, you know, that's wrong. She could have came out and said that, but instead she points the finger at John Kerry.
It's unbelievable.
What a hypocrite, man. I'm so sick of the hypocrites.
I know, and I have to wonder to what degree Mary Cheney has become so brainwashed, or maybe it's a Stockholm syndrome that has her, you know, the so-called Stockholm syndrome that says eventually you begin to identify with the righteousness of your captor's cause. Maybe she has internalized her own form of homophobia, and it comes out like this. Who knows? I have no idea. It's sad. It makes me sad, and at the same time, it makes me angry. Hey, thanks, Philip. Thanks for checking in. All right. All right. Thank you, sir. Take care. Ellen is calling from San Francisco. Hi, Ellen. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Be careful there. See, you didn't listen to me, and I think you just fell off a cliff. Are you still there? Ellen? Well, I hope, seriously, I hope nothing bad happened. Ed is calling from, not Ed. Ed, never mind Ed. Ed just got there. Noah is calling from Denver. Hi, Noah. Welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning. God, what time is it?
Does it really matter? But
no.
Hi, Noah.
Hey, I wanted to talk about how you were talking about the economic situations and such like that.
Yeah.
I think they're actually designing the whole situation to collapse so they can basically get rid of democracy. The elite don't like democracy, and the only way to get rid of it is they destroy the economy so people will basically choose a dictator over death.
Oh, that's scary.
What happened in the Depression was back then people actually had a positive connotation of the word fascism because they were so poor, they were so destitute that they would have done anything. And the only thing that saved America was somebody who had a true vision, and that was Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm.
And unless we had somebody else who's going to come along who has the same vision as Roosevelt, I'm afraid of what these people are doing to us. I'm afraid of what's going to happen with the housing market when that blows.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be something like what happened in Japan in the 90s when pretty much, you know, everybody was out of a job.
Mm-hmm.
They're still recovering to this day. But what they're doing is just absolutely, I think it's designed to destroy our democracy so that the elite come out on top and everybody else just becomes servants.
Well, I do agree with you. That's always been the classic struggle, though, has it not, between the ruling class and the working class. Hey, thanks for checking in. I appreciate you calling, though. I got a break here. You take care. Call us again, all right? All right. Quick break. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy, and when we return tonight's reading, and there's very little left, George Orwell's 1984. Stay with us.
The best of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Every day, Aleve helps millions of people overcome the pain of arthritis. In recognition of Arthritis Month, Aleve is bringing you one of their stories every day.
I'm Phyllis Ocean, and this is my story. When I was diagnosed, my arthritis was in my knees. I started using Aleve. You don't know how good you feel until the pain is gone.
31 people, 31 stories, 31 days of good news. That's a daily dose.
Aleve works for me.
Watch for a new story each day on national TV and AleveGoodNews.com. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 75,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals. Call right now and we'll also include for free the RX Saver discount prescription card. The RX Saver is accepted in most pharmacies nationwide and provides savings of up to 60% off most medications. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Use the Optimum Health discount card risk-free for 30 days and start saving now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
Thanks a lot for the ride home. Hey, no problem. Just because you're a sophomore doesn't mean I can't talk to you.
Thanks.
Hey, while you're here, want to take a hit of some weed? Some good stuff. Here you go.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, the anti-drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
We are so close to the end of George Orwell's seminal novel, 1984, that I'm starting to get dizzy. When we left off last night, Julia and Winston have met subsequent to their mutual betrayal at the hands of O'Brien in the Ministry of Love. The torture was so intense. Both of them experienced Room 101. So they have met, and whatever they felt for each other in the earlier parts of the novel, of course, has been replaced by a stone-cold emptiness. That's, after all, what betrayal does. And they talk for a while and walk beside each other for a while, and then they decide to part. And Winston says, "We must meet again." And Julia says, "Yes, we must meet again." And he followed her for a while, but after a while she drifted off in one direction, and he just stood there for a moment, and that's where we'll pick it up. The next moment, not altogether by accident, he allowed himself to become separated from her by a small knot of people. He made a half-hearted attempt to catch up, then slowed down, turned, and made off in the opposite direction. When he had gone 50 meters, he looked back. The street was not crowded, but already he could not distinguish her. Any one of a dozen hurrying figures might have been hers. Perhaps her thickened, stiffened body was no longer recognizable from behind.
"At the time when it happened,"
she had said,
"you do mean it."
He had meant it. He had not merely said it. He had wished it. He had wished that she, and not he, should be delivered over to the... Something changed in the music that trickled from the telescreen. A cracked and jeering note, a yellow note, came into it. And then, perhaps it was not happening. Perhaps it was only a memory taking on the semblance of sound. A voice was singing, "Under the spreading chestnut tree, I sold you and you sold me." The tears welled up in his eyes. A passing waiter noticed that his glass was empty and came back with the gin bottle. He took up his glass and sniffed at it. The stuff grew not less but more horrible with every mouthful he drank. But it had become the element he swam in. It was his life, his death, and his resurrection. It was gin that sank him into stupor every night, and gin that revved him up every morning. When he woke, seldom before 1100, with gummed-up eyelids and fiery mouth and a back that seemed to be broken, it would have been impossible even to rise from the horizontal if it had not been for the bottle and teacup placed beside the bed overnight. Through the midday hours, he sat with glazed face, the bottle handy, listening to the telescreen. From 15 to closing time, he was a fixture at the chestnut tree. No one cared what he did any longer. No whistle woke him. No telescreen admonished him. Occasionally, perhaps twice a week, he went to a dusty, forgotten-looking office in the Ministry of Truth and did a little work, or what was called work. He had been appointed to a subcommittee of a subcommittee, which had sprouted from one of the innumerable committees dealing with minor difficulties that arose in the compilation of the 11th edition of the Newspeak Dictionary. They were engaged in producing something called an interim report, but what it was that they were reporting on, he had never definitely found out. It was something to do with the question of whether commas should be placed inside brackets or outside. There were four others on the committee, all of them persons similar to himself. There were days when they assembled and then promptly dispersed again, frankly admitting to one another that there was not really anything to be done. But there were other days when they settled down to their work and almost eagerly, making a tremendous show of entering up their minutes and drafting long memoranda which were never finished, when the argument as to what they were supposedly arguing grew extraordinarily involved and abstruse, and with subtle haggling over definitions, enormous digressions, quarrels, threats even, to appeal to higher authority. And then suddenly the life would go out of them and they would sit round the table looking at one another with extinct eyes, like ghosts fading at cockcrow. The telescreen was silent for a moment. Winston raised his head again. The bulletin. But no, they were merely changing the music. He had the map of Africa behind his eyelids. The movement of the armies was a diagram, a black arrow tearing vertically southward, and a white arrow horizontally eastward across the tail of the first. As though for reassurance, he looked up at the imperturbable face in the portrait. Was it conceivable that the second arrow did not even exist? His interest flagged again. He drank another mouthful of gin, picked up the white knight, and made a tentative move. Check. But it was evidently not the right move because, uncalled, a memory floated into his mind. He saw a candle-lit room with a vast white counterpaned bed, and himself, a boy of 9 or 10, sitting on the floor, shaking a dice box and laughing excitedly. His mother was sitting opposite him and also laughing. It must have been about a month before she disappeared. It was a moment of reconciliation when the nagging hunger in his belly was forgotten and his earlier affection for her had temporarily revived. He remembered the day well. A pelting, drenching day when the water streamed down the window pane and the light indoors was too dull to read by. The boredom of the two children in the dark, cramped bedroom became unbearable. Winston whined and grizzled, made futile demands for food, fretted about the room, pulling everything out of place, and kicking the wainscoting until the neighbors banged on the wall, while the younger child wailed intermittently. In the end, his mother said, "Now be good, and I'll buy you a toy, a lovely toy. You'll love it." And then she had gone out in the rain to a little general shop, which was sporadically open nearby, and came back with a cardboard box containing an outfit of snakes and ladders. He could still remember the smell of the damp cardboard. It was a miserable outfit. The board was cracked, and the tiny wooden dice were so ill-cut that they would hardly lie on their backs. Winston looked at the thing sulkily and without interest. But then his mother lit a piece of candle, and they sat down on the floor to play. Soon he was wildly excited and shouting with laughter as the tiddlywinks climbed hopefully up the ladders and then came slithering down the snakes again, almost to the starting point. They played 8 games, winning 4 each. His tiny sister, too young to understand what the game was about, had sat propped up against a bolster, laughing because the others were laughing. For a whole afternoon, they had been happy together, as in his earlier childhood. He pushed the picture out of his mind. It was a false memory. He was troubled by false memories occasionally. They did not matter so long as one knew them for what they were. Some things had happened. Others had not happened. He turned back to the chessboard and picked up the white knight again. Almost in the same instant, it dropped onto the board with a clatter. He had started as though a pin had run through him. A shrill trumpet call had pierced the air. It was the bulletin. Victory! It always meant victory when a trumpet call preceded the news. A sort of electric drill ran through the cafe. Even the waiters had started and pricked up their ears. The trumpet call had let loose an enormous volume of noise. Already an excited voice was gabbling from the telescreen, but even as it started, it was almost drowned by the roar of cheering from outside. The news had run round the streets like magic. He could hear just enough of what was issuing from the telescreen to realize that it had all happened as he had foreseen. A vast seaborne armada had secretly assembled a sudden blow in the enemy's rear, the white arrow tearing across the tail of the black. Fragments of triumphant phrases pushed themselves through the din. Vast strategic maneuver. Perfect coordination. Utter rout. 500,000 prisoners. Complete demoralization. Control of the whole of Africa. Bring the war within measurable distance of its end victory. Greatest victory in human history. Victory! 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 Under the table, Winston's feet made convulsive movements. He had not stirred from his seat, but in his mind he was running, swiftly running. He was with the crowds outside, cheering himself deaf. He looked up again at the portrait of Big Brother, the colossus that bestrode the world, the rock against which the hordes of Asia dashed themselves in vain. He thought how 10 minutes ago, yes, only 10 minutes, there had still been equivocation in his heart, and he wondered whether the news from the front would be a victory or defeat. It was more than the Eurasian army that had perished. Much had changed in him since that first day in the Ministry of Love, but the final, indispensable healing change had never happened until this moment. The voice from the telescreen was still pouring forth its tale of prisoners and booty and slaughter, but the shouting outside had died down a little. The waiters were turning back to their work. One of them approached with the gin bottle. Winston, sitting in a blissful dream, paid no attention as his glass was filled. He was not running or cheering any longer. He was back in the ministry of love with everything forgiven, his soul white as snow. He was in the public dock confessing everything, implicating everybody. He was walking down the white-tiled corridor with the feeling of walking in sunlight and an armed guard at his back. The long hoped for bullet was entering his brain. He gazed up at the enormous face. 40 years it had taken him to learn what kind of smile was hidden beneath the dark mustache. Oh, cruel, needless misunderstanding. Oh, stubborn, self-willed exile from the loving breast. 2 gin-scented tears trickled down the sides of his nose. But it was all right. Everything was all right. The struggle was finished. He had won the victory over himself. He loved Big Brother.
Walk me out in the morning too, honey. Please walk me out in the morning too, sometime. Can't walk you out in the morning too. I'm sorry. Can't walk you out in the morning too. But I heard a young man cry.
You're listening to the best of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
You're on the Ovaltine Nutrition Hotline with nutritionist Felicia Stoller.
Hi, I just found out that I'm lactose intolerant, but I love chocolate milk. Can I still use Ovaltine?
You sure can. Just add rich chocolate Ovaltine to your lactose-free milk. Not only does Ovaltine make lactose-free milk taste better, it also makes it better for you. That's because rich chocolate Ovaltine has 16 vitamins and minerals. So turn lactose-free milk into delicious chocolate milk that's really nutritious with rich chocolate Ovaltine.
More Ovaltine, please!
Who was the first automaker to introduce factory-installed safety belts and roll stability control? First to introduce emergency trunk releases and offer head and chest side airbags? And who is working on future safety innovations like lane departure warning and blind spot alert systems? It's Ford Motor Company. Ford engineers are working to help protect children, keep families safer, and save lives. Ford, driving American innovation.
of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
It's about 9 before the hour. Thanks to Justin Yuen and Stan Stolpiak, who engineered the program in New York City tonight. Dee Neal is our associate producer. She answered your phone calls. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, Ben Birch, White Rose Society, archives program, Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief, and, of course, Catherine Bay, our executive producer. Let's squeeze in a few more phone calls if we can. D.B. Cooper is calling in again from Michigan. Hey, D.B., I always want to ask you about the money when you bailed out of that airplane, but I know you don't want to answer, so let's just get right to the purpose of your call. Hi, D.B.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Great. Been listening to you all night. I did want to say that with what's going on these days, I'm thinking of getting somebody to repack my parachute because I don't know how. But nonetheless, my first question was about Medicare Part D.
Yeah.
My mother is going to be 90 years old in December. She doesn't take any medication right now. But,
wow.
Yeah, I know.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I know. Not even blood pressure. I think it's the gin and vermouth that keeps her going.
That'll do it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. But anyway, she's been curious what to do, and the deadline's coming down. From what I've heard from you and what I'm pretty much gathering is it's going to cost her money even though she doesn't need medication. Is that pretty much the gist of it, or don't you know?
I don't know. I really don't. If she's not actually buying anything, even if she signs up, then I would assume no money. But I don't know. The Bush pharmaceutical industrial complex probably has figured out a way to get into your mother's pocketbook, too.
Well, that's what I'm looking forward to not having happen. So I'll just look into it myself. That was my first part. The other one has to do with, I'm sure you listen as much as you can to the Majority Report. And there's this guy that's a speechwriter for Bush.
Yeah.
You know, for the White House, and there was an order given down, so the USDA is supposed to put in all this good news about the war in Iraq.
Uh-huh.
You know, he managed to wing into this conversation that he had with Jeanine and Mr. Cedar, whatever his name is. Yeah, he managed to wing this thing into here about accepting, we're going to tell all these countries that we conquer to accept Jesus Christ as their own personal savior. And then you can go on to praying whichever direction you decide to do, you know, and expect your certain amount of virgins when you do whatever we ask you to do and all that kind of stuff. And that's the good news that they're trying to incorporate into these speeches. I suppose those speeches are for the other countries.
Yeah, this has been done before. It was called the Inquisition.
Yeah, well, I know. It's sounding much more like the Crusades than I even want to even believe. I mean, no one expects the Spanish Inquisition. Of course, that takes us back to a certain Fireside Theater thing, I believe it is. Monty Python, excuse me.
I think it's Monty Python.
Yeah, it is.
I'm not surprised. If you've been paying attention as much as you can, like I have, as much as I can, you will find there is a whole cadre of high-ranking military officers who have squirmed and bored their way into leadership positions in the United States military, all branches, but especially for some reason the Air Force and the Army, who are religious fanatics of the Christian bent to the same degree that, I don't know, pick a name. Osama bin Laden is a fanatic to the Muslim bent.
Yep.
These are people who have no problem condemning thousands to death, these military officers, because they figure, well, you know, confess your sins and welcome Christ into your heart and you'll go to heaven, so it really doesn't matter. In much the same way as Osama inspires his suicide bombers, well, you know, confess your sins and welcome God into your heart, and when you blow yourself and other people up, you'll go immediately to paradise. So these people are sick. I wish them all into the cornfield, all of them. I wish I had the power to do that, because if I did, there would be swishing sounds as these people went flying through the night air, Muslim and Christian, into the cornfield from whence they would never be heard again.
Correctly. That actually gives me a little bit of a bent towards that movie, Children of the Corn.
Well, no, it's a science fiction short story that The title of which and the author of which totally escapes me, but before this phone call is over, I'll have 30 emails telling me what it was. But
great.
It was a very good short story. It wound up on, I don't know, years and years ago. I think it was made into a teleplay. But it was one of the bright lights of the science fiction world, the fantasy science fiction world, who wrote this short story, Billy somebody, who, when he got pissed off, he isolated his family in the village, part of the village. It just floated in space, and he had a cornfield, and when people made him angry, he would put them in the cornfield.
That was the condemning factor. Okay.
Actually, into the cornfield. All right, listen, I got to go. Thanks, DB. Always good to hear from you. I hope to hear from you again. Take care. Take care. I'm just out of steam for tonight. You ever feel that way when you finish a novel? You feel like, oh, damn. Yeah. All right, listen, thanks for participating tonight. I'll see you tomorrow night. It's Friday. Yay. So take care. All right? Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Katie Rodan. Dr. Kathy Fields and I created Proactive Solution because acne is the number one problem we see in our practices. As dermatologists, we treat acne as a physical condition. But what really affected us was seeing the emotional toll acne takes. So maybe you're the one with the breakouts. You shy away from social situations. You avoid being photographed, or you won't leave the house without makeup. So what's preventing you from trying Proactive? My guess is that you're afraid. You're afraid that it just won't work. Afraid to get your hopes up, only to be disappointed. This time you don't have to worry. We are so confident that Proactive will work for you that I'm offering you a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactive Solution.
Just call 1-800-426-0651 and you'll become a believer. Let Proactive prove it. Call 1-800-426-0651 for your risk-free trial. Call 1-800-426-0651. Call now.
Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser. President Bush insists that post-9/11 eavesdropping programs he approved are lawful, and the privacy of Americans is fiercely protected. Bush made the statement after USA Today reported that the National Security Agency is keeping records of tens of millions of domestic phone calls made by Americans. Meantime, the White House says it is forging ahead with the nomination of Air Force General Michael Hayden to head the CIA. Hayden was the architect of some NSA eavesdropping programs. The U.S. Senate has joined the House in extending some tax cuts that are due to expire. Like the House vote, the Senate's 54-44 vote was largely along party lines. The $70 billion plan extends reduced rates for dividends and capital gains. It also offers average families protection from the alternative minimum tax. Connecticut Democrat Chris Dodd questioned the logic of tax cuts when war costs and deficits are exploding. The legislation now goes to President Bush for his signature. Former Republican House Leader Tom DeLay says he will formally resign from Congress on June 9th. The move will allow another GOP candidate to run in the general election in November. DeLay has been charged in Texas with money laundering and other crimes in connection with his political action committee. It was a somber day for more than 100 family members of those who died in the Value Jet disaster. 10 years ago, Flight 592 crashed into the Florida Everglades just minutes after takeoff from Miami International Airport. On Thursday, mourners gathered at the Value Jet Memorial Monument in West Miami-Dade. Arthur Ballandrin lost a loved one that day. He says that he and all family members are still coping with the loss a decade later.
When you lose somebody, it's real hard, but when you lose your own son or you lose your own daughter that's a lot younger than you, that's a feeling. It's hard for a parent.
Family members say they are happy that the death of their loved ones did not go in vain. Investigators determined that oxygen generator canisters being transported in the cargo hold exploded and caused the fire that brought the aircraft down. After that revelation, federal officials banned oxygen canisters from cargo compartments of commercial flights. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser. We'll be right back.
best of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Malloy here on Air America Radio. Let me give the phone number one more time, 866-303-2270, but hold off because all the lines are full. Let's go back to Hi, who's called in from Pembroke Pines, Florida. Hi, thanks for holding on.
Okay, Mike. You know, one of your last calls was asking the question, who are these guys?
Right.
And these guys are Mengele's experimental boys from Brazil.
I think you're right.
If they're not, they're the closest thing to it. You know, I've been really rough on these guys before they were even elected, and I used to call some talk shows down here in Florida, and they said, oh, you're overreacting, how can you call them Nazis, how, don't use those words, and so forth and so on. And I hear the same people today now using the same words that I used when it's coming back at me.
How smart...
It was so obvious.
Yeah, how smart did we have to be 2, 4, 6 years ago to realize... This new breed of Republican who are not Republicans, you know, I can live with Republicans. These people I can't live with. How smart did you have to be able to figure this out?
This is right out of Goering's playbook. They showed Judgment in Nuremberg recently on TV.
Yeah, you know,
and
I saw
Bird, like,
yeah, I saw it. It was what? Turner Classic Movies, wasn't it? I was watching it. It was over the weekend.
You remember when Burt Lancaster at the end, he gives it all up?
Yeah.
And he describes how they took over.
Yeah.
And wasn't it exactly what is going on in this country today?
It is.
I started to sweat, you know. And by the way, you know, the day that the Twin Towers went down, I was watching TV, and they were interviewing one of the wives of one of the male passengers on the flight, and she was in touch with him over the cell phone. And she said that while he was talking to her, he said there was a puff of white smoke off the right wing. And the interviewer said, well, you know, I was in the Air Force. He said, you know, that means that they shot a missile at the plane. You never saw that interview or heard that interview again.
I wonder when the absolute real truth from start to finish of what occurred on this in this country on September 11th is going to come out.
I don't think it's ever going to come out, and I think we're in for a long, long road to hoe, because the people that are in office now are not really the ones that are in charge. The ones that are really in charge are out of reach.
Yeah.
These are just the guys that are working for them. These are the low-level gangsters. The real criminals are way, way up there.
They're pirates. They're thieves. You know, I'd rather have Tony Soprano running this country.
They live in a different world. They're alien to this planet. I don't mean that literally.
I know.
I'm just saying that these are people who, when they think in completely different ways. And, by the way, I got a bone to pick with you.
Go ahead.
All right? I'm a Zionist. And you made some comments a little while back that really frosted my keister.
Well,
when you were talking about Israelis murdering Palestinian children or Jews getting a free ride, you know something? If anybody's getting a free ride, it's the Palestinians and the Arabs that are killing Israelis and killing each other and the mothers that are celebrating their children.
Hi, this is not a topic I'm doing tonight, all right?
All right, had to get it in because...
Okay, all right, but hi, that's a cheap shot because I'm not on that topic. I don't have the time to get into this. If you're a Zionist, you're a Zionist. You know, I have nothing to say about this topic tonight. No, don't interrupt. I'm going to say goodbye now, and thank you for checking in, but I'm going to end the phone call. We'll talk some night. I'm going to bring up this topic, and we're going to talk about it for 3 hours, and my audience will reduce itself by about 90%, but by God, we will talk about it, because, when I make statements about this subject, about the destruction of life in the Middle East by Israelis bombing Palestinians, suicide bombing Israelis, and I take a certain position, somebody starts to insinuate something about me, I just want to say, go screw yourself. I don't want any, you know, I'm not interested in that. I'm just not interested in that. I've got very clear position on this. Jesus, I'm talking about it. Nope, that's it. Not talking about it tonight. Adioski. Not going to happen. All right, let me see here. Phil is calling from San Diego. Phil, welcome to the program.
Yeah, good evening, Mike.
Hey.
Yeah, I kind of sympathize with High because basically it's like that's what these neocons want us to do is to be divisive and take everything out on one another.
Sure, sure, absolutely.
And I think I might have the answer to what you were, when you were speaking earlier about familiesusa.org, six-letter word, because he comes from there, Wyoming, Mr. Cheney. It's like his way of getting, saying, well, you guys want to take me out? Okay, this is what I give America. Because remember what he did to that congressman telling him to F you? He's like saying, F you, America.
I know, and I, you know, this gang around Bush, including Bush, is the most anti-American, pro-death, murderous, miserable bunch of vermin that I've ever seen, and I've been politically aware for 40 years. I've never seen scum like this.
They're like androids.
Oh,
they're
my
not even,
God.
No soul, you know.
They hate the country. They hate Americans. They hate children. They hate everything. They are just eaten alive with hate. And they do everything they can to destroy the country, destroy the economy, destroy the military, destroy the reputation, destroy ethics, morality, everything. I don't understand this. I just wish they would go. I wish they would all leave. Just get out of town.
Well, remember down in Crawford with Cindy Sheehan when she set up Camp Casey for her son, and these neocons there. Right-wing goons out there chanting what they chanted.
Oh,
that's basically what Cheney is saying to America. We don't care. They don't care about Jack, you know?
I hear you.
Hey, thanks for being there, Mike.
All right. Appreciate you checking in. Appreciate you checking in. Take care. Take care. Let's see. You know, you could hear that in that caller's voice. And you hear it in my voice, the rage, the anger. What the hell? I mean, greed is one thing. Yeah, it's one of the seven deadly sins, right? Or crimes. Or mental aberrations. But what these neocons are demonstrating, where concerns our foreign policy, our domestic policy, the way we take care of ourselves, what we believe about ourselves, our belief in science as opposed to religious superstitions, our all of it. I can't process the anger either. I can't let it go. I can't let it go. Just like so many people email me or call this program. And it never stops. It just doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. When you think these bastards can't do anything else to hurt this country, then you get some freak like this Senator Enzi who introduces something because he is a lay on your back or lay on your stomach whore for the health insurance industry, and he's doing what he's paid to do. And it will destroy health insurance coverage, just rip it to shreds for 85 million health insurance holders. It's just unbelievable. One man that can introduce legislation that will do that much damage. Now, there's a very clear demonstration of the value of that kind of a man if you take a look at utilitarian philosophy. One man who will sell out 85 million people for $150,000 or to maintain his seat in the Senate. What a pig! How do people like that... I don't get it, because I still have some human qualities like you do, you know? If I do something wrong, I can still feel guilty. I really can. If I lie, God forbid... the lie will last. I don't even dare attempt to lie to the most important person in my life, Kathy. I don't even attempt it because I can't do it. You know what I'm talking about. And I'm an average dude, man. I'm no different from anybody else except these Republican scum. How do they do it? How do they do it? How can they live such immoral, unethical, poisonous lives and make it so miserable for everybody else? And stand there in front of rallies and re-election committees and in front of the American public with that dead-eyed look in all of their faces, every single one of them, and spew their lies, knowing that they're hurting so many thousands, if not millions of people, just hurting those people, causing grief, pain, financial trouble. So now cut the health insurance. People can't bankrupt anymore when they get caught with medical bills. So now let's go to the other side. Just keep slashing and burning. And then let this rat bastard in the White House get out there and say, well, the economy is improving. Look at all the jobs we've created. Look at the stock market. Woo-hoo! It's just infuriating. It is, and I, you know, I've said before, don't come to this program for answers. I don't have any. Oh, I've got an answer, but I can't say it on the air. Oh, certainly I have an answer. But I know what the rules are, and I can't say it on the air. Oh, I could say it on the air, and probably get away with it, and then that would be the end of that, wouldn't it, huh? We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
Fire and you lie. You freaking liar. You freaking liar.
The world has changed after September 11th. It's changed because we're no longer sick.
Saddam Hussein is determined to get his hands on a nuclear bomb.
Nuclear weapon.
Nuclear weapon.
Nuclear weapon.
Lied to us, you freaking liar. Your party's going to hell in a blazing ball of fire. And you lie. You freaking liar. You freaking liar.
You're listening to the best of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Jen, what's up?
Hey, how'd you know I was having a party?
Everyone knows you're having a party.
Yeah, pretty crazy, isn't it?
Totally.
Hey, I'm gonna smoke up. Wanna get high? Here, you'll like this.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, The Anti-Drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Every day, Aleve helps millions of people overcome the pain of arthritis. In recognition of Arthritis Month, Aleve is bringing you one of their stories every day.
I'm Phyllis Ocean, and this is my story. When I was diagnosed, my arthritis was in my knees. I started using Aleve. You don't know how good you feel until the pain is gone.
31 people, 31 stories, 31 days of good news. That's a daily dose.
Aleve works for me.
Watch for a new story each day on national TV and AleveGoodNews.com. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
We've investigated every single complaint against the detainees and the allegations by people who were held in detention, people who hate America, people that have been trained to disassemble. That means not tell the truth.
Okay, a couple more things here, and then I want to play the sound for you from today. Bush and Negroponte, the mass killer from the 80s, who now is preparing his mass killing schemes for this country. I totally missed it. This is from last Thursday. The FBI, this is from the Progressive. Matt Rothschild wrote this. The FBI has been keeping tabs on School of the Americas Watch. That's the human rights group that monitors this terrorist training school in Fort Benning, Georgia. Rothschild writes, in fact, the FBI has elevated its concern about SOA Watch to priority level, claiming that the group is subject to, quote, counterterrorism, unquote, monitoring. That's according to documents released on May 4th by the ACLU and its Georgia chapter. Now, I'm sure everybody knows SOA Watch was founded by Father Roy Bourgeois back in 1990 and organizes these annual protests at Fort Benning that draw thousands upon thousands of protesters. I'm sure you also know that in a PR stunt, School of the Americas changed its name to the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation. Father Bourgeois said in the ACLU press release, quote, our intentions are peaceful and our commitment unwavering as we nonviolently call attention to a school that has trained some of the worst human rights abusers in this hemisphere. Now, the FBI denies anything wrong in its investigation of SOA Watch. They say our reaction is the same to all the other ACLU allegations about FBI spying. The FBI does not investigate individuals based on First Amendment activities. The FBI investigates only when we have information that an individual or a group may be involved either in violent activity or national security issues. Good night. Better wake up, folks. We better wake up. From the Air Force Times. From the Air Force Times. An Air Force Major General who used email to seek donations for a Republican congressional candidate may have violated at least two military regulations. First, improper use of his military computer and using his position to solicit votes and contributions for a political candidate. But Major General Jack J. Catton Jr. also tripped a third hot wire when he wrote in his email that was sent to scores of recipients, many with .mil addresses, when he wrote that, quote, we are certainly in need of Christian men with integrity and military experience in Congress, end quote. Integrity and military, Christian men with integrity and military experience in Congress. Jesus. Catton is an active duty officer. He's director of requirements for Air Combat Command, Langley Air Force Base, Virginia. What else is at Langley? Ooh, let me think. Oh, that's right. The CIA.
The best of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Nice shot! Time out!
Basketball's fun, but I need a cold drink.
My mom's making rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Ovaltine?
Let's go!
I guess the kids will be home soon.
Let's make rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Come on! Sarah's mom's making
rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Alright!
My kids love Ovaltine's rich chocolate taste.
And I love all those vitamins and minerals that you won't find in Nesquik powder.
Mom!
we're back.
Who wants Ovaltine?
We do.
We better make more.
More Ovaltine, please.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 75,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals. Call right now and we'll also include for free the RX Saver discount prescription card. The RX Saver is accepted in most pharmacies nationwide and provides savings of up to 60% off most medications. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Use the Optimum Health discount card risk-free for 30 days and start saving now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
Hey, Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here. Are you as alarmed as I am by the assault on our freedoms by the religious right? An essential element of freedom is the right to choose or reject religious beliefs. And this is why I fully support the Freedom From Religion Foundation as it takes the lead in challenging the growing threat from the religious right in the United States. If you'd like further information on the dangers of living in a theocracy, please call 800-335-4021. 800-335-4021 or visit their website, ffrf.org.
We'll be right back.
Okay, truth seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, more of Mike Malloy.
The best of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
26 before the hour. So this general, Major General Jack Catt in U.S. Air Force, sends emails to bunches of people supporting a Republican candidate, a retired Air Force major named Bentley Rayburn. And he says, first of all, he's not allowed by military regulations to do that. But he did it anyway. And I'm quoting from Air Force Times. And he says that the country needs Christian men with integrity and military experience in Congress. Now, okay, there's nothing wrong with advocating voting for a Christian man or a Jewish man or a Muslim man or an atheist man. Nothing at all. Even for a military pig like this guy, who uses his position as a major general to put a little pressure here and there, perhaps, for this candidate. Now, the candidate himself, this Rayburn freak, says that the email is being made an issue by Mike Weinstein. Uh-oh. An Air Force Academy graduate who now is suing for a total ban on proselytizing and evangelizing by Air Force members while on duty. Weinstein. What is that, Irish? Scottish? Michael Weinstein. Yeah, I know about this. I know about this lawsuit. So, you know, Weinstein is saying, hey, back off. For Christ's sake, we're here to learn how to kill people. Will you keep your Jesus out of it? That's all. We're here to learn how to kill people and blow things up. In other words, we're here to learn about how to fight a war. Please keep your Jesus out of it. Oh, well then. Political candidate Rayburn says, well, you know, it's Mikey Weinstein. He says, quote, what made Weinstein mad is that Major General Catton suggested we need more Christians with military experience in Congress. If Jack's email did not have that word, Christian, it would not be an issue. Well, all together now, 3, 2, 1, duh! Weinstein said in a telephone interview Monday that neither Rayburn nor Catton get it. Weinstein said Rayburn urged him in a phone conversation not to go public. Remember, Rayburn is the candidate. Major General, retired. Major General Bentley Rayburn urged Weinstein not to go public with his complaint about the email, quote, because it would hurt the United States of America, end quote. You filthy pig, Rayburn. You piece of human waste. Rayburn said he did not recall saying that, but he added that, in my opinion, he's already brought great damage to the country. Well, let me tell you something, jackass. Mikey Weinstein is an officer in the United States Air Force. What do you mean he's brought great damage to the country? Just never stops, does it? It never stops. And Catton, Major General Jack J. Catton Jr., boy, I'll bet you he carries a .45 caliber sidearm with white pearl handle. You want to bet he does or doesn't, huh? What do you want to bet? I'm sorry, I don't mean 40. I mean a .44 caliber with a pearl, white pearl handle on it, pistol grip on it, right? Major Jack Catton, hey! We need Christian men who know how to torture and kill in Congress. He's an active duty officer, director of requirements for Air Combat Command, Langley Air Force Base, Virginia. Now, what other Air Force general has recently been in the news? Oh, that's right. So here's Chucklenuts nominating another right-wing freak, Michael Hayden, General Michael Hayden, as director of the CIA. Now, how did this happen? Well, Rove had to reach into his bag of unindicted Bush cronies and those who are not going to be indicted and come up with the best candidate he can. Plus, don't forget, this country is heading into a militaristic form of totalitarianism. Now, they don't think this General Hayden is involved in any sex scandals or money laundering or other neocon chicanery. Of course, he's probably another one of these Jesus loves you, now die types. But there's that nasty little connection to Duke Cunningham's people at MZM. You don't know what MZM? Well, I'll tell you what it is in a second. All right, let's try to fool the sheeple once again.
Today I'm pleased to nominate General Mike Hayden as the next director of the Central Intelligence Agency. Mike Hayden is supremely qualified for this position. I've come to know him well as our nation's first deputy director of national intelligence. In that position, he's worked closely with our director of national intelligence, John Negroponte, to reform America's intelligence capabilities to meet the threats of a new century. Mike has more than 20 years of experience in the intelligence field. He served for 6 years as director of the National Security Agency, and thus brings vast experience leading a major intelligence agency to his new assignment.
Vast experience? Vast experience, you ignorant bastard. This is the guy who organized the illegal wiretapping of Americans for you. Vast experience. Let's hope Hayden gets educated on the Constitution and all of its amendments, like the Fourth, before he takes over the CIA. Then again, since Chucklenuts isn't overly fond of what he referred to as that goddamn piece of paper, Hayden seems a natural choice.
America faces determined enemies who struck our nation on September the 11th, 2001.
Woo-hoo!
And who intend to attack our country again.
Yeah!
To stop them, we must have the best possible intelligence.
All right!
Mike knows our intelligence community from the ground up.
Yes!
He has been both a provider and a consumer of intelligence.
Oh, that's wonderful!
He's overseen the development of both human and technological intelligence.
Oh, goody!
He has demonstrated an ability to adapt our intelligence services to the new challenges of the war on terror. He's the right man to lead the CIA at this critical moment in our nation's history.
I'm not going to comment on what the hell the CAA is, but never mind. What did Bush say? He's been a provider and a consumer of intelligence? What the hell does that mean? What does that mean? That the stuff that this guy illegally, unconstitutionally, sucked out of illegal wiretaps, what, he consumed that? What does that mean, George? Is that like somebody who tries to suck teenagers into a sexual liaison by getting online? Is that what that means, George? This guy is nothing but John Negroponte's footstool. And Negroponte is a murderer. Is a murderer of the highest order. He is an organizer of death squads. He is a killer. He is a torturer. How did these people get to positions of power in my country? How did this happen? How does this happen? So let's hear from old death squad Negroponte himself, who held his own little press briefing today endorsing his current Deputy National Intelligence Director, General Hayden, for CIA chief. I do believe Negroponte when he says he'll miss Hayden at the National Intelligence Department. Oh, yeah, he'll be so far away from you, won't he, Bubala, huh? Must be nice to have a like-minded criminal to eat lunch with every day, right, John? I'd have to hear a single press conference or announcement from the Department of National Intelligence. We now have the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, Homeland Security, the NIA, all supposedly to protect Americans? Huh? I guess it's a case of, all the better to hear you, my dear. And the insane logic is that somehow having this many separate agencies will magically improve communications between national intelligence agencies, right? You know, you have to wonder, did these morons ever play the game telephone when they were kids? No, they were never kids, never mind. The more people pass on the message, the less coherent it becomes. Remember the bitching and complaining? Remember how they tried to sidestep the responsibilities of the intelligence failure, quote, regarding 9/11? Well, we couldn't communicate with each other. Oh, God, we couldn't pick it. The FBI could pick up the phone and call the CIA, who couldn't pick up the phone and call anybody. So we just sat there. And they came in here and killed 3,000 people. That's the story we want you to believe. 3,000 people they killed us because we couldn't communicate. We believe the story. Believe it. So here is John Death Squad Negroponte today.
The CIA is the nation's most important repository for intelligence analysis on virtually every imaginable topic, including our highest priority areas such as Iran, North Korea, and weapons of mass destruction. Mike Hayden knows these issues from every angle, and his experience working with all intelligence customers from the president on down makes him the ideal leader for the CIA.
Jesus Christ.
Finally, let me say that I have learned a tremendous amount from Mike over the past year, and I will be sorry to lose him as my deputy, but I know that he is the right man for this challenging assignment.
Iran, North Korea, and weapons of mass destruction. The CIA is the nation's most important repository, and you, Negroponte, you've done such a fabulous job on previous intelligence matters. Matters that really inspire confidence, like your Death Squad organization, huh? Why do all these people look like Eichmann? Why do every one of these? Look at Negroponte, Adolf Eichmann. Look at this general, Adolf Eichmann. Look at Cheney, Adolf Eichmann. Look at Chertoff. Adolf Eichmann! Eichmann! Eichmann!
This world can be better than it is today. You can say I'm a dreamer, but that's okay. Without the quippy and the might have been, all you got left is your fragile skin. And that ain't worth much down on the death squad, Lou.
Listening to the best of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Some of the best minds in the automotive industry, using some of the most sophisticated design facilities. Engineers from Ford Motor Company are working together on a common mission. Creating safer cars for our families and our children. Ford is renewing its commitment to driving American innovation. At the core of that effort is your safety, because every single life saved is worth it. Ford, driving American innovation.
Every day, Aleve helps millions of people overcome the pain of arthritis. In recognition of Arthritis Month, Aleve is bringing you one of their stories every day.
I'm Phyllis Ocean, and this is my story. When I was diagnosed, my arthritis was in my knees. I started using Aleve. You don't know how good you feel until the pain is gone.
31 people, 31 stories, 31 days of good news. That's a daily dose.
Aleve works for me.
Watch for a new story each day on national TV and AleveGoodNews.com. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
the best of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
They didn't connect the dots. How come the dots weren't connected? Well, the Patriot Act helps us connect the dots. It is inexcusable to say, on the one hand, connect the dots and not give us a chance to do so. We've connected the dots, or trying to connect the dots.
Nine before the hour. I'm sorry, eight before the hour. Okay, last soundbite for tonight. Another one from John Death Squad Negroponte at his press conference today, praising, endorsing, practically blanking his current Deputy National Intelligence Director, General Mike Hayden, for CIA chief. Now, Negroponte, of course, did not open up for questions. Now, here's what happens when a death squad boy meets a real American like Helen Thomas.
Why did you want Mr. Goss fired? And also, does the CIA send detainees to secret prisons abroad?
I wouldn't characterize Mr. Goss's departure in that way, Helen. Porter had talked for some time about the possibility of leaving public service. I think that the president felt that this was an opportune time. He saw Porter, and I think Porter also had talked about himself being a transitional leader, transitioning from the old setup prior to intelligence reform to the new one. And the president just felt that this was a good time to appoint new leadership to carry the agenda forward and consolidate the reforms that Mr. Goss had initiated.
Second part of my question, do we send detainees to secret prisons abroad?
I'm just not going to comment on that question.
No, why should you? Why should you, Eichmann? You talk about the banality of evil. Hannah Arendt was so right. All you have to do is look at these people. Look at this guy when he stood up there today, aside from the fact that he looks like Mr. Death. Can you imagine Negroponte in a black shroud with the hood covering his face and a huge scythe in his hand? Can you imagine? Porter had talked some time about the possibility of leaving public office. I think the president felt this was an opportune time. Well, yeah! Isn't he right on the verge of being implicated in a major prostitution and corruption scandal? Oh, I'm not saying that Porter Goss climbed on top of one of those sex workers that Abramoff apparently set up for everybody in the MZMZMZM Incorporated scam lying crap. He didn't have to. But he's implicated in it. Helen Thomas just cracks me up. Why do you want Mr. Goss fired? And does the CIA send detainees to secret prisons abroad?
I'm just not going to comment on that question. Death to you, old lady. I just sprayed you with the death ray that shoots out of my mouth whenever I open my mouth. Death to you, old lady. You gnarled old crone. Helen Thomas, Danny Thomas, are you Lebanese? Are you an Arab? I cannot pole vault over the rage and ill, the feelings I have about these people. Have you ever seen anything like this? So we said, we're sitting on our collective asses now, and we're talking about it, and we're thinking to ourselves, well, surely the Democrats are going to take power in 06, and then everything will be okay, and because then they'll stop this nonsense. And then over the weekend, I got a couple of emails from people that told me that Nancy Pelosi and Howard Dean both are saying, What, impeach him?
No! No! If we can control the House and the Senate, impeach him, Schmeech. Who's talking impeach? Ken Mellman is talking impeach. Ken Mellman, the chairman of the Republican National Committee, is telling America, well, as soon as the Democrats take over, they're going to impeach your president right in the middle of a war!
Who do you believe? Either of them? Any of them?
And as far as General Michael Hayden being confirmed as a director of CIA, when the news first broke, or the rumors of the news first broke last week, towards the end of last week, remember, oh, well, we're not going to confirm him. Remember how many Democrats, oh, no, oh, no, 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 no. Even a few Republicans, even this useless waste of DNA from Georgia here, Saxby Chambliss, even he was questioning it. What do you want to bet that this guy flies through the confirmation process without any problems whatsoever? This is Air America. We'll be right back.
Best of Mike Malloy on Air
America. Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.